Heaven is a World of Love is a premium collection resource produced by the Be United in Christ Outreach Ministry. The mission of the Be United in Christ Outreach Ministry is to teach and promote Christian unity in accordance with God's Word. Genuine, visible love and unity in the body of Christ honors the Lord and proclaims His gospel to the world. Please enjoy this wonderful resource titled, Heaven is a World of Love, and continue exploring the important topic of Christian unity in the Word of God and on our website, beunitedinchrist.com. Heaven, Unity, Love, and Eternity. Heaven and Unity. Why would a ministry devoted to Christian unity publish Jonathan Edwards's most powerful sermons on heaven and hell? Because heaven is a world of loving union. Hell is a place of hateful conflict. And the solidarity of Christ's disciples is an important element in persuading unbelievers to spend eternity experiencing the love of God in heaven rather than the wrath of God in hell. As Jonathan Edwards notes, since heaven is the dwelling place of God and God is love, heaven is a world of love. Heaven is where God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit live forever in loving unity. Heaven is also where those who have embraced Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord are united with God and with one another in perfect, unending love. Loving unity is what makes heaven heavenly. This union of believers with God and one another is precisely what Jesus prayed for His disciples. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they all may be one, as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me, and the glory which You gave Me I have given them, that they may be one just as We are one, I in them, and You in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that You have sent Me, and have loved them as You have loved Me. Father, I desire that they also whom You gave Me may be with Me where I am, and they may behold My glory which You have given Me. For You loved Me before the foundation of the world, O righteous Father. The world has not known You, but I have known You, and these have known that You sent Me. And I have declared to them Your name, and will declare it, that the love with which You loved Me may be in them, and I in them. John 17:20-26. Jesus wants His disciples to enjoy the same loving union with the Father that He does. He prayed for them to be united on earth in anticipation of uniting them in heaven. Visible Christian unity also attracts other sinners to embrace Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Christian love is an essential element in proclaiming the gospel, and loving union with God and others is the ultimate goal of the gospel. Heaven and love. Every one of us will die, stand before God as our judge, and then be sent to heaven or hell for all eternity. The two most important questions we can ask are, what must we do to inherit eternal life, and which of God's commandments is most important for us to obey? Jesus answered both of these critical questions identically. Love God and love others. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. Luke 10:25-28. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question, testing Him and saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Matthew 22:35-40. So all the commands of the Mosaic Covenant depend on us loving our Lord and our neighbors. This is why the first four of the Ten Commandments specify how we must love God, while the last six explain crucial ways in which we are to love others. Love is also the key commandment of the New Covenant. When Jesus announced the New Covenant to his disciples during the Last Supper, Luke 22:20, he also gave them a new commandment, which he repeated twice that same night. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John 13:34-35, NASB. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. This I command you, that you love one another. John 15:12-17, NASB. Christ commanded his followers to love one another as he loved them. Selfless, sacrificial, mutual love is the visible sign of Christ's true disciples. The Apostle John likewise insisted that mutual love is an essential indicator of all true Christians. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. 1 John 4:20-5:1, NASB. Those who claim to be Christian but do not love other Christians are in fact non-Christians, for every true child of God loves their father's other children. God is love, and love is what God desires and demands above all else. Indeed, love is essentially what all God's other commands are intended to convey. Even the most sacrificial acts of charity toward others and commitment toward God profit us nothing unless they are done in love. 1 Corinthians 13:3. God's requirements for us can be summarized as loving him, loving our neighbors, and loving other Christians. The central theme of loving unity expressed in the three great love commandments connects all of reality from eternity past to eternity future. God is love. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have loved one another from eternity past and will continue loving one another for eternity future. Their loving union is an everlasting reality. In love, God made men and women in his image to be able to enter into this loving union. Humans are made for the specific purpose of loving God and others, for love is an essential part of what it means to be made in the image of God, who is love. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they demonstrated that they no longer loved him as he deserved. When we disobey God, we demonstrate that we do not love him as he deserves. When we do not love God, we do not love others either. Similarly, when we do not love others, we reveal that we do not truly love God. 1 John 4:20. Failure to love others results from the more fundamental failure to love God, and failure to love God is exposed by failure to love others. Because people do not love God, they disobey him and deserve to be punished. Because God loves people, he does not want to punish them for disobeying him. So God sent his Son to bear our punishment for us. Jesus also loved God wholeheartedly and others selflessly, fulfilling the demands of the Old Covenant. And he loved his disciples sacrificially, modeling the new commandment of the New Covenant. God gives sinners who deserve hell the opportunity to spend eternity in heaven instead if they repent of their sins and embrace Jesus as their Savior and Lord. God attracts sinners to himself in part through the love-based unity of his adopted sons and daughters. By loving one another as Christ loves them, believers lovingly invite unbelievers to join God's family. Love for other Christians is an essential indicator of those who truly are children of God. Because believers love God, they love one another, which is how they lovingly invite unbelievers to give themselves to Christ. Heaven, unity, and love are keys to understanding and enjoying eternity. Heaven is where the three great love commandments are perfectly obeyed. Hell is where the three great love commandments are completely disregarded. The only way to enjoy an eternity in loving union with God and others, rather than suffering for eternity in conflict with God and others, is by repenting of your sins and embracing Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. That is what this book is ultimately about. Heaven is a World of Love. Original Sermon in Modern Language. Bible Text. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. 1 Corinthians 13:8-10. In my previous sermon on 1 Corinthians 13:8, I showed that the way in which the Holy Spirit will be imparted to Christ's church, not only for a season but also eternally, is the great fruit of divine love. Now I would like to consider verse 8 in connection with verses 9-10. And from these three verses I will make two observations. First, one of love's great virtues is that it will remain when all the other fruits of the Spirit have faded away. Second, this will come about in the final stage of the church when that which is in part will be done away, and that which is perfect has come. There are two imperfect, and therefore two perfect, states of the Christian church. The church's first imperfect or incomplete stage was in its beginning before it was strongly established in the world, settled into its New Testament condition, and before the canon of Scripture was completed. At this time, the church was in a state of childhood, so to speak, in comparison to what it will be in its older and later ages when it shall reach its state of maturity, or comparatively earthly perfection. Likewise, this comparatively perfect church of Christ, as long as it remains at war with sin and Satan, will still be in an imperfect and, as it were, in a childish state, in comparison with what it will be in its heavenly state, at which time it will be in its state of manhood or perfection. And so there is a twofold fading away of the miraculous gifts of the Spirit mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 13:8-10. One was at the end of the first or infant stage of the church, when the canon of Scripture was completed. And therefore, there was to be no need for such gifts in the church in its later ages. It was time for the church to put away childish things and enter a state of maturity before the end of the world. And it was time for the Spirit of God to be poured out and displayed most gloriously in that love, which is its greatest and everlasting fruit. The other phase in which some gifts of the Spirit fade away is when all the common fruits of the Spirit cease. This occurs with respect to particular persons when they die. It happens with respect to the whole church at the end of the world. But love still remains in heaven, and there the Spirit of God will be poured forth and revealed in perfect love in every heart for all eternity. In context, Paul seems to be writing with respect to both these perfect or mature states of the church, but especially the church at the end of the world. The glorious state of the church in its last age on earth will indeed be perfect in comparison with its earlier state. However, it is the church's state in heaven that best agrees with the apostle when he says, "When that which is perfect has come, and now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." 1 Corinthians 13:10-12.